Let us turn to Genesis chapter 6.
我们要念几节的圣经。
We read a few verses.
创世纪第六章。
Genesis 6.
我们要从第五节开始来读。
From verse 5.
耶和华见人在地上罪恶很大，众人所思想的尽都是恶，耶和华就后悔造人在地上，心中忧伤。耶和华说，我要将所造的人和走兽并昆虫以及空中的飞鸟都从地上除灭，因为我造他们的后悔了。我要挪亚在耶和华面前蒙恩，挪亚的后代记在下面，挪亚是个义人，在当时的时代是个完全人。挪亚与上帝同行，挪亚生了三个儿子，就是闪、含、雅弗。世界在上帝面前败坏，地上满了强暴，上帝观看世界，见是败坏了，凡有血气的人在地上都败坏了行为。第十三节，我们一同来读，从第十三节读到第四十节。上帝就对挪亚说，凡有血气的人，他的尽头已经来到我面前，因为地上满了他们的强暴，我要把他们和地一并毁灭。你要用戈斐木造一只方舟，分一间一间的造，里外涂上熊香。好，我们现在就读到这个地方，我们低头祷告。
Let us pray.
主啊，感谢你把这些伟大的历史事件记载下来，成为各世纪各时代的见解。我们感谢你把这些原则留在我们文字的里面，成为我们每一个人，我们每一个时期，在我们的生活，在我们的行为中间所做的见解。我们把一切荣耀归给你，求主给我们以饥渴慕义的心与受教的灵魂来到你的面前，领受你的光照，领受你的敬体，领受你的教训，遵守你的命令。求主你听我们的祷告，我们把难解之处带到你的面前，求主怜悯我们，使我们有智慧去明白你的话。你听我们的祷告，感谢赞美，奉主耶稣基督得胜的尊名求你，阿们。上个礼拜有来的请举手，我看一下，这样你们可以听的时候有一个连续性。那么上个礼拜没有来的请举手。
Those who were not here last week.
你在哪里呀、啊？上个礼拜、啊
Where were you last week?
如果你们这样断断续续这里听，有再几个礼拜再来听，很难建立你们对圣经比较健全同完整的了解。
It is difficult to have a comprehensive understanding of the Bible if you attend these gatherings sporadically.
我一定要对你们这样讲。
I must say this to you.
这样对你们自己对自己建立信仰基础是比较有负责任的。
So that you are responsible to your own establishment in your own faith.
好，上个礼拜我们思想的上帝看见人有犯了很大的罪。
Last week we thought about how God looked at the evilness of man.
所以上帝决定要消灭整个人类。
And so he decided to destroy all of humanity.
这件事是从前从来没有过的事情。
This was something that had never happened before.
这件事也是以后从来再没有的事情。
And also something that will never happen again.
所以这件事到底是什么事呢？
What was this matter?
使上帝生气到这个地步。
They incurred the wrath of God.
我很奇怪的人呢，长官生气他害怕，总统生气更害怕，警察生气都害怕，就是上帝生气他不怕。
I'm quite curious as to why we are afraid of the wrath of anybody else except God.
因为神是充满怜悯的。
Because God is merciful.
因为神是有宽恕的恩典的。
And God has grace and He will forgive.
所以人就把这种恩典当作是可以随便糟蹋的恩典。
And so we would take this sort of grace for granted.
但是圣经告诉我们，历史上有好几次。
But the Bible tells us that in history,
当神执行他公义的审判的时候，
there were several occasions when God judged us righteously.
没有一个人可以逃避上帝。
When that happened, no one can escape.
在索多玛和摩押的日子，
in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah,
是一个很清楚的例子。
Those were clear examples.
在挪亚的日子，
on the days of Noah,
是一个很清楚的例子。
Again, clear examples.
所以这个创世纪第六章就第一次提到上帝最大的一次的振奋。
Genesis 6 shows us the first time great wrath of God.
但是每一个时代的人都后知后觉。
In every generation, we always look back.
很少像摩西在九十篇里面诗篇所提的诗句所说的。
Very few of us can be like Moses who wrote Psalm 90.
有谁晓得你愤怒的权柄呢？
Moses wrote, "Who knows the power of your wrath?"
有谁照着你该受的敬畏晓得你的愤怒呢？
Who knows the wrath based on the warning that you've given to us?
这两句话是教会复兴的开始。
These two sentences is the basis of revival for the church.
这两句话是人灵性重整的一个开始。
And also the beginning of the restructuring of our spirituality.
我们应当有个敬畏上帝的心。
We need to have a heart that fears God.
所以圣经记载上帝的愤怒跟审判这些事情。
So the Bible recorded the incidents of the wrath of God.
就是要提醒各时代的人。
To remind every generation.
我们应当在神面前存一个敬畏的态度来过生活。
That before God, we need to live our life with a sense of fear and reverence.
那么，约翰在创世纪第六章记载什么事情呢？
And Genesis chapter 6 recorded.
神的儿子喜爱人女子的美貌，就随意娶来为妻。
An incident where the sons of God would take on the daughters of men.
难道是因为这件事情，上帝这么大发脾气吗？
Was this the incident that incurred the wrath of God?
所以我们上个礼拜提到两种对这一段圣经的解释。
And last week we proposed two different explanations.
第一种就提到神的儿子们不是人，是天使。
The first one is that the sons of God referred to as angels.
天使跟人结婚是可能的吗？
Is it possible for angels to marry humankind?
天使没有性的功能，也没有性的器官。
Angels do not have sexual functions or organs.
他与人结婚，生了一切不是人、不是天使的怪种，这是可能的事情吗？
Is it possible for a new species to come forth from the marriage?
从耶稣的话语来说，天上的使者也不嫁也不娶，所以有一个最大的可能，就是本来是不可能的。
Jesus Christ declared that angels will not marry, so this cannot be possible.
但是这种的解经的真正的原因，不是提到这个良善的天使。
But the explanation does not refer to good angels.
因为邪恶的天使。
They are also evil angels.
所以就从犹大书提到有这个可能性。
And from the letter of Jude, we see this possibility.
如果这种解话是对的话，
If this explanation is correct,
那么天使跟人结合，生出不是人，不是鬼，不是有肉身，不是有灵性而已的半神半天使的这种就下一代的话，
The proposal would be that evil angels will produce a species that is very odd.
这种的品种就不是神所造的。
And this will not be the creation of God.
他们就没有办法接受上帝的救恩。
They will not be able to receive the salvation of God.
如果是这样的恶计谋的话，
If this is the result of such evil plan,
就是表示这种计划是要消灭上帝救赎的计划。
This sort of plan must be for destruction of God's own plan.
那这问题就太大太大了。
It will then bring about great consequences.
上帝用他的怒气就把那个时代全部消灭掉。
And so the wrath of God destroyed the entire generation.
但是这种思想跟这种解经的办法，
But this explanation and thinking process,
到了新约第二世纪的时候，
By the time we reach the second century,
差不多所有的教父都拒绝了。
All church leaders would reject this explanation.
虽然它有很深的神学意义跟价值在里面，
although it seemed to have great theological significance,
但是我们要从第二世纪以后，基督徒的解经家怎么了解旧约这一段的圣经？
From second century AD, the church leaders understood this passage differently.
所以他们这里提到的上帝的儿子们，跟其他旧约所提的神的众子是不同的，是有例外的。
And they explain the sons of God to be people who are unique and different.
什么例外呢？
What sort of difference?
就是这是表示敬虔人的后代。
Sons of God refer to devout people.
也就是不是该隐的后代，而是色特的后代。
And not the children of Cain, but the children of Seth.
色特的后代是求告主名的。
And the descendants of Seth call upon God.
色特的后代是敬畏上帝的。
And they fear God.
所以他们可以被称为是神的儿子们。
And so they are worthy to be called sons of God.
神的儿子们看到世上的人的女子美貌，就随意娶来为妻，什么意思呢？
And what does it mean to say the sons of God marry the daughters of men?
表示人在建立家庭的时候，以眼目的情欲，以肉体的情欲为重。
It tells us that we place emphasis on human lust when we build up our family.
所以就违背了敬畏上帝应当有的原则。
And this is against the principle of reverence to God.
这样的家庭就产生了不敬虔的儿女出来了。
This sort of family will give rise to descendants who are not holy.
所以上帝在地上要有一群敬畏爱主的人 保持这群对神敬拜的历史价值。
And God is willing that there are descendants who are reverent and will preserve the worship of God.
所以上帝就对这件事大发脾气。
And so the wrath of God was incurred.
消灭人类以及牲畜。
And he would destroy all living things.
那我们上个礼拜讲到这个地方。
And last week we stopped here.
我已经对你们说今天要讲为什么上帝会后悔这个事情。
And today we will talk about why God would regret.
这段圣经事实在的全本圣经中最难解的一段圣经。
And this is one of the most difficult passages in the Bible.
为什么上帝会后悔呢？
Why would God regret?
为什么上帝要消灭他所创造的人？
Why would God destroy men that he has made?
如果因为人犯罪罪到恶极，所以上帝要把他消灭掉。
If it is because of the great sin of man,
为什么上帝也要把这些地上的兽、天上的鸟都要把它消灭掉呢？
Why would God then destroy all other living beings like birds and animals?
所以这个难题背后还有许多许多更琐碎。 更复杂的难题。
There are many complex consequences from the question.
所以我们也思想, 为什么上帝要消灭除人以外其他的动物？
We want to ask why God would destroy living things beyond humankind.
原来我们从全本圣经的总原则找到了一个很重要的线索。
We can find an important clue from the general principles of the Bible.
神创造人是为了他自己。
That God created man for his own glory.
神创造万物是为了人。
And he created all other things for men.
所以这样万物是为人而被造的。
So all things were created for the humankind.
万物的存在终极的目的就是人的享用、人的管理跟人对他们的权柄。
And the ultimate goal of all other living beings is for men to have dominion and authority over them.
人的被造就是要彰显上帝的荣耀。
But the creation of man is to manifest the glory of God.
人的被造使人可以享受神的恩典。
The creation of man is for us to enjoy God's grace.
人的被造又可以遵行上帝的旨意。
And we are created to do His will.
所以这样在创造的整个系统的里面。
In the entire system of creation.
人是比神更低。 比万物更高的。
Man is created lower than God, higher than all other things.
神、人、物就变成宇宙次序中间的三个阶层。
The universal order is then God, man, and things.
当物为人的时候，人的价值就高过物了。
When things are made for man, we have a higher value than things.
当人清楚神的价值高过人的时候，
When we are clear that God is higher than us,
人就为神的荣耀而活在这个世界上。
We will then live for the glory of God.
所以这个是神为万物所定的位分。
This is the order God has set for all things.
而全本圣经的总原则又告诉我们，
The general principles of the Bible also tells us,
定位的移动，
That when this order moves,
就是叫做罪恶。
Sin results.
所以呢， 罪的定义不是行为的问题。
And so the definition of sin is not just an action.
罪的定义就是位分的挪移。
When we say sin, we refer to the shifting of the status.
当我前几个月跌倒以后，
A few months ago, I had a fall.
后来发现这个痛，一直痛，痛了几个月都没有好。
I kept discovering that there's this pain over this side.
我从前常常跌一两天就好了。
In the past, I always recover quickly.
为什么现在跌得这么辛苦呢？
But why am I suffering like this?
中医讲了一句话。
A Chinese physician said,
你跌的时候，你很多东西的位分已经变了。
When you fall down, many parts of your body has shifted in its position.
所以当你不把它放回本位，是很难修理好的。
And it is difficult to recover without putting it back into position.
这是我第一次呢。 听见医生说把人当作机器来修理的。
This is the first time when I heard the word repair being used on me.
医生的广告叫做人体修理的中心。
And so the clinic is called a repair center for the human body.
这里就给我想到神造人的是有位分的。
But here it reminds me that God has made us as a person.
当你的骨头跟你的筋脱离关系的时候，
When your bone is separated from your veins,
你本位移动的时候，
When your original position has moved,
它的工作就不能照常，
The function will be affected,
它的功用就不能自由，
And there is no freedom,
你里面的感受就变成疼痛所 不能够自由操纵。
And then you will suffer pain.
所以这就是本位的挪移。
This happens when the original position has moved.
那圣经用这个名词来描写天使犯罪是怎样的情形
？And the Bible used this way to describe how angels sin.
那离开本位的天使。
Angels that have left their original course.
上帝把他捆锁在大黑暗的里面。
And God will bind them into great darkness.
他不但没有了原有的定位。
They have lost the original position.
他也不可能有原有的功用。
They also lost the original functions.
更不能达到原有定下的目的。
And certainly cannot fulfill the original purpose.
本位是罪的源头。
The original purpose of shifting is where sin comes from.
本位的移动就是罪的定义。
And the definition of sin is when you are shifted.
这是世界上没有一个国家的法律看得出来的事情。
No human legal system can realize this.
只有神的道告诉我们这个真理。
Only the word of God will reveal the truth to us.
所以当人不记得他是人的时候
，So when we forget that we are human beings,
他就过了一个不像神也不像人的生活。
We will live a life not like God nor like man.
当一个人忘记他是人的地位的时候
，When we forget that we have a honorable status,
他就过了一个像动物一样的生活。
We will live a decadent life like an animal.
所以为什么有一些教授早上像教授，晚上变成野兽呢？
So some professors will lecture in the day, but in the night they live a hedonistic lifestyle.
为什么很多大学生上课的是大学生，下课变成畜生呢？
Well, a lot of university students also live a gangster-like life.
因为他们没有记得自己的位分、功用跟目的在哪里。
This is all because they have forgotten their original position and functions.
所以当人不以神为神的时候
，When we do not treat God as God,
他就不可能以己为人。
It will not be possible to treat yourself as man.
一个人不以己为人的时候
，When you do not treat yourself as a human being,
他就不可能以物为物。
We will not treat things as things.
所以人误会了。
Because we have fallen,
天地都误会了。
And so the entire world was stained.
因为人离开了本位了。
Because we have shifted from original
position. 所以人之下的所有动物就失去了它的功用。
And all living things beneath us have lost their functions too.
上帝说人既然犯罪。
And so God said, since men have sinned,
我要消灭人类。
I will wipe out mankind.
连凡有血气的动物，天上的鸟，地上的兽。都一同消灭了。
Men and animals and creatures all over.
这是一个相带关联的事情。
These are things that are related.
你在圣经以外没有办法看到这样的事情。
You will not see such description outside of the Bible.
这本书实在是生命的书。
And indeed, this is the word of life.
这本书不但是智慧的书。
The Bible not only is a book of wisdom.
这本书更是有机去解释宇宙被造状况。唯一的一本书。
It is also the only book that gives us organic explanation of the cosmos.
那这样人一不对的时候
，So when we do the wrong things,
万物就失去了相对关系的意义了。
By relationship, all living things will leave their meaning.
你们到一个地方的时候
，When you visit a certain place,
你们说这地方很好。
You will say, "Wow, this is a good place."
其实你是讲的很含糊的话。
Actually, you are saying vague things.
你先感到那地方的人很好，所以那地方就很好了。
First, you must have felt that the people were very good.
为什么同样一块地，新加坡贵得不得了，印尼很便宜呢？
The same piece of land is so expensive in Singapore, but in Indonesia is very cheap.
饮水思源，新加坡的地皮是印尼的海沙填上的。
And Singapore land comes from Indonesian sand.
为什么在哪里不值钱，在这里身价千倍呢？
Why is it almost worthless there, but worth so much here?
为什么印尼人想起了心酸溜溜，不再把海沙寄来了？
And so Indonesians feel envious and stop the sand.
因为这里人文关系好，地理就变成好了。
Because human relationship is good here, so the land becomes expensive.
所以你去旅游的时候
，When you are touring,
你随着因为那边太美，你也不会因为那边的很多强盗，你就随便去欣赏美。
Even if a place is very beautiful, if there's a lot of robbers there, you will not go there.
所以自然是一个课题。
And so nature is a subject.
Object. 人是一个主体。
But the humankind is the subject.
人的身体是一个课题。
And our body is an object.
人的心是一个主体。
Our heart is a subject.
所以圣经告诉我们
，The Bible says,
当你心地黑暗的时候，天地就黑暗了。
When your heart is dark, the entire world will be dark.
心地污秽的时候，整个天地都污秽了。
And when your heart is corrupt, the entire world is corrupted.
人既然在最终使神失望。
So when we are in sin, God is disappointed.
上帝就连神、连人、连所有的动物都要消灭掉了。
So then God will destroy all other living things.
巴厘岛是很漂亮的地方。
The island of Bali is very beautiful.
但是 Bali bombing 以后， Bali 岛就不漂亮了。
But once the bomb occurred, it is no longer beautiful.
接下去一整年，旅游业一泻千丈。
For the entire year after the bombs, tourism suffered greatly.
那些人一发现旅游业掉下去，他们养生的费用都没有了。
And people lost their livelihood.
所以那个时候应该去的就是那个时候，因为旅馆降价，吃饭的东西降价，什么都降价。你们那时候不去是很笨的。
And you should have visited it then because everything was so cheap.
你说我等平安才去，他又在起价了。
But once peace comes, the price will go up.
这个问题我们解决了。
Now we have solved this problem.
上帝的人犯罪消灭人类的时候
，When God destroyed humanity,
为什么上帝要消灭这些动物呢
？Why would God destroy all other living beings?
这个问题解决了。
We have solved the problem.
第二个重要的问题
，But the second important problem.
上帝为什么要消灭挪亚时代的人类呢
？Why would God destroy the people of Noah's era?
上帝后悔造人。
The Bible says God regretted creation.
那么这是圣经第一次出现连上帝也会后悔的。
This is the first time the Bible described God regretting.
而且不单是第一次出现。
Not only did it appear for the first time.
同一段圣经几页里面一共出现两次。
And this description came out twice within the same verse.
上帝后悔造人了。
That God regretted that he has made man.
很多人读到这些圣经，他就莫名其妙，连上帝也会后悔。这个上帝是怎样的上帝呢
？And people are curious as to how God can regret.
这不是别人讲的，是他自己启示的圣经，自己讲自己后悔的。
This is an expression by God Himself, His own revelation.
所以不但我们不明白这句话的意思
，Not only will we not understand this.
我们甚至读经就卡在这里，不能再读下去。
Sometimes we get stuck at the verse.
所以很多的人读到这一段，他就开始不再读圣经了。
And many people stop reading after here.
这真是圣经中间的难题了。
And indeed, it is a difficult passage.
这件事也使我对整个人类有一个很大的研究的兴趣。
But it intrigued me and I want to study on it.
就是当我们开车到拥挤的市场的四面的时候
，When we drive our car and meet a traffic jam,
我们的车就卡在那里了。
Our car gets stuck.
我们就很难的向前了。
Very difficult to move forward.
最糟糕的是一直塞车塞到最后汽油都塞完了。
The worst part is to run out of gas.
那么你车又坏了。
And the car will break.
就不能出来了。
And you cannot get out.
所以那个塞车的地带成为你停车的开始。
And that is where it becomes like a car.
以后你就没有办法再进行你的路程了。
And you cannot move on.
今天有多少人的信仰遇到圣经难题就卡住在那里。
And many people are stuck because of difficulties.
这些人不是普通人。
And they are usually not common people.
所以我用这个现象去研究历史上那些反对基督教的人，他们到底跟基督教的关系，他们跟圣经的关系，那么哪一些经文把他们卡住，永远不能出来的。
And I want to understand which are the verses that create an obstacle for people in history that they cannot get out.
这是上帝启示的复料用词，以致害死很多人不明白圣经吗？
Could it be that God used the wrong words and many people fall because of that?
是不是因为上帝故意把那些人绊倒，使他在恩典中间没有份呢
？Or that God purposely removed them from His grace?
这又是一个研究的题目了。
Again, it is a topic for study.
我发现尼采卡住的圣经是创世纪第三章。
But later I realized that the philosopher Nietzsche was stuck in Genesis 3.
那么这些像达尔文的人
，people like
像尼采的人
and Nietzsche,
像赫格尔的人
and Hegel,
这些人都是研究神学的人
and these people are people who study theology,
像列宁这样的人
and Lenin,
像斯大林这样的人
Joseph Stalin,
都是在基督教的家庭里面长大起来的人
and they grew up in Christian families,
那么像 Gorbachev 这样的人
and Gorbachev,
当他年轻的时候他母亲还是要他每个礼拜去做礼拜
when he was young he attended the church every week
那为什么这些人变成无神论的人呢
but why did they become atheists
为什么这些人变成反基督教的人呢
why were they against Christianity
为什么这些人对圣经不能再研究下去呢
why did they stop studying
因为神许可他们在哪一段圣经把他卡住哪一段圣经使他不能这本圣经就变成绊倒人神主动的一本奇妙的书了
And God may have allowed them to be stuck at certain Bible verses, and so the Bible will block them.
耶稣基督是历史上最大的绊脚石。
Jesus Christ became the greatest stumbling block in history.
也成为教会最重要的房角石。
But at the same time, the most important cornerstone of the church.
这些都要把神的主权彰显出来。
All this will manifest the sovereign will of God.
所以圣经记录有很多很难解释的事情。
There are many passages in the Bible that are difficult.
但这些东西如果你解开了以后,
But when you solve the problem,
你真的了解了以后,
when you truly understand it,
成了人类思想最大的启发。
It becomes the greatest inspiration for humanity.
我们灵性跟信仰最重要的根基
Very important foundation for spirituality.
问题是我到底要怎么样去了解去从这里得到一个疏通呢
The problem is how then can I solve this question
这就有关系神的主权跟你的回应了
This is related to the sovereign will of God and your response to his will
上帝的怒气从天上降下来
When the wrath of God came from heaven,
降在哪一个人身上呢?
Where did he go to?
降在那些不义不虔的人身上。
It came to people who are not holy and not reverent.
就是那些抵挡真理的人身上。
People who are against the truth.
所以谁是抵挡真理的人?
Who are people who oppose the truth?
这些人抵挡的真理是怎样的真理呢?
What sort of truth did they oppose?
又变成另外研究的题目了。
Again, another profound topic.
所以讲圣经隐藏了无穷无尽。 引人入胜，要明白真理的这些契机的问题。
And so you see that the Bible has many topics that intrigues us.
所以有许多的人被卡住了。
Many people get stuck.
他们就认为不可以再向前了。
And so they say, I cannot move forward.
他们用消极悲观的态度，认为自己没有得释放的可能。
They are passive and pessimistic and say, I will not get a breakthrough.
他们就停在那里了。
And they stop right there.
马克思是一个不懂圣经的人吗？
Was Karl Marx a person that did not know the Bible?
辩证法里面用了10多种圣经的方法。
He has used many biblical methods in his own methods.
列宁是个不懂圣经的人吗？
Was Lenin ignorant of the Bible?
他死的时候最后一本看的书是圣经。
But he read the Bible as the last book before he died.
达尔文是一个不懂圣经的人吗？
What about Charles Darwin?
他发现圣经的第一章跟进化过程的秩序完全一样，他惊奇万分。
Darwin was surprised that the order of creation was similar to that of evolution.
斯大林是个不懂圣经的人吗？
Joseph Stalin.
3年前一个很重要的秘密显明出来了。
3 years ago, an important secret was revealed.
他常常在克里马林宫经过一个小礼拜当中停下来，进到里面，叫他的守卫在门口等一下。
He would often enter into a little the chaplain in the Kremlin.
那有人从这个。 钥匙缝看到他在里面有时候跪下来做祷告的形状
And people could see from the keyhole that sometimes he would kneel there to pray
但是这些人好像如果不走无神论的道路就没有办法有勇敢做独裁用仇恨来对付他们政治的仇敌
But because they were dictators they need to move on as atheists to take care of their opponents
在他们心灵最深的地方对神对圣经的事情没有人知道他们的奥秘
But no one knows the secret in the depths of their heart in relation to God.
当我所认识一个很重要的人到苏联去访问的时候,
I know a very important person who visited Soviet Union.
他们甚至请他去看列宁死的时候最后的情形。
They invited him to visit the last place where Lenin died.
他们尊重他到一个程度。
The Russians honored Lenin so much.
苏联共产党总部的最高领导吩咐他死的时候, 什么东西放在什么地方可以弄干净，不可以移动它。
From the highest authority, the order was given that nothing should be moved in his room.
人才知道他最后看的一本书是圣经。
That was how we know that the last book he read was the Bible.
这样我相信历史历代有很多人都不敢随便轻看这本书。
And so I do believe that in all generations, people would not look down the Bible so easily.
他们又不可能公开承认他们可以接受这本书。
But many people would not openly say they will accept the Bible.
有人假借科学的名义把这本宣布是落伍的迷信的书。
And some people will use science to declare this as an obsolete book.
有人用民族的自傲宣布这本是犹太人一著的书。
Or arrogance from their nationality to say this is a Jewish book.
所以他们再套上一些的名词，那基督教的圣经是反时代、是反科学、是反动的、是反革命的、是以现在思潮完全格格不入的。
And they will use terms to tell us that the Bible is out of its time, it is anti-progression, and it's not good for modern times.
一面这样抵挡，一面偷偷的从圣经吸取教训、吸取经验去搞他们的政治跟军事。
But at the same time, they will learn lessons from the Bible to do their political work.
中国人从《孙子兵法》继续研究我们。 战争的策略。
It's like the Chinese continuing to learn from Sun Tzu.
犹太人到现在还继续从圣经里面寻找作战的智慧。
The Jews continue to learn how to fight wars from the Bible.
其他的物理学家、其他的这个重要的政治家、军事家都在圣经寻找真正的智慧在哪里。
And many physicians and scientists would find the true wisdom from the Bible.
但是我们不能否认圣经有一些的词句、有一些章节给人带来太多理性的障碍跟我们能解释能明白的那些困难。
But we cannot deny that many Bible passages give us very difficult obstacles to our reason.
The barrier of human understanding.
And becomes barrier.
所以呢这里我们特别提到就是今天这句话。
And today we want to specifically talk about this.
后悔造人在地上。
That God would regret or grieve.
我们许多时候看见不懂的经文的时候我们马上的回应就是这么好笑这么落伍这么封建这么迷信的话语。
When we see Bible passages we do not understand, very often we say that, well, this is superstition, this is out of its depth and out of its time. 所以我们
许多时候看见人是很用不一致的态度对他所不懂的东西产生回应的。
And our reaction to things that we do not know are inconsistent.
很奇怪的事情。
It's very strange.
一个人看爱因斯坦的书看不懂他就自卑感他就卷席回家不敢再读书下去了。
When we do not understand the books of Einstein, we feel inferior, and then we go home, we feel ashamed.
但是同一个人看圣经看不懂，他就骂上帝。
But the same person, if he doesn't understand the Bible, the first thing we do is we blame God.
你们哪一个人看爱因斯坦看不懂就骂爱因斯坦的吗？
Would you scold Einstein if you do not understand his books?
看爱因斯坦看不懂就说自己笨蛋。
If you look at Einstein, you cannot understand, you say, well, I'm too stupid.
你看圣经看不懂，你就举起拳头来抵挡上帝。
But if you do not understand the Bible, you look at God and then you scold him.
我反面的过来来说。
But on the other hand,
你是上当了。
You have fallen into a trap.
上帝就用这本书来考验你怎么回应他的。
And God would use this book to test your response.
神的主权。
The sovereign will of God.
神的智慧。
The wisdom of God.
是超过人对他不了解产生的反对的。
Far surpasses the opposition of our misunderstanding of him.
上帝留下了许多绊脚石在圣经。
God would leave many stumbling blocks.
我们怎样去克服这些困难呢？
How do we overcome this difficulty?
你要有受教的心。
You must have a teachable heart.
你要有谦虚的灵。
And a humble spirit.
你要有你肯学习的智慧。
And the wisdom that wants to learn.
在神的面前求上帝开你的心门。
Before God, ask him to open your heart.
有一些人听我讲了一两次就不来了。
Some people would not come after listening to me one or two times.
这个人这样讲这么硬，我为什么要听他的？
Why would I want to listen to him? He's so fierce.
那我告诉你，
But I tell you this.
如果上帝给你听得懂以后，
If God enable you to understand,
你就发现你太后悔，如果你没有听这些重要的信息。
You will feel regretful that you have not heard the important messages.
耶稣基督如同一个非人手找出来的石头。
Jesus Christ is like a stone that is not made by man.
谁碰上这个头？石头他就绊倒了。
It will stumble many people.
这个石头掉在谁的身上，就使人被压碎的。
And the stone will crush anyone they falls upon.
所以有人爱基督爱到为他死都很甘愿。
And so some people will love Christ so much that they are willing to die for him.
有的人恨基督恨到一定把耶稣钉在十字架上才甘愿。
And some people hated him so much that they will crucify him.
He was the most controversial person in the history of mankind.
他是历史上最有争议性的人。
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
神的办法就是这样。
This is the method of God.
使你的傲慢被显出来。
That your arrogance may be revealed.
就把你摔掉了。
That you may be cast aside.
或者借助基督把你的受教的心显出来。
And through Jesus Christ, all through Jesus Christ, make you teachable.
你就蒙恩了。
And you will be blessed.
所以今天我们用这个原则来看这一个重大的难题。
We want to use this principle to look at this difficult problem.
上帝为什么会后悔呢？
How can God grieve or be regretful?
后悔有两层的意义。
There are two meanings to regret.
第一是就是感情上受的伤。
The first one is an emotional hurt.
当一个人后悔的时候，
When a person regrets,
他那个难过是很难用这种忧伤的经历去把它描写或者代替的。
It is difficult to describe this sort of emotion.
那个后悔的时候，
When we regret,
是不能被挽救回来的。
It means something cannot be turned around.
后悔的时候，
When you regret,
是看见历史的方向是不能周转过来的。
You will see that history cannot turn around.
后悔的时候，
When you regret,
你是感到机会永远不再回头了。
You will feel that the opportunity will not come back.
历史的方 方向永远不再转折了。
That the direction of history will not make a U-turn.
你曾经有个的机会已经永远失去了。
And the opportunity you once had was lost.
你既然做了最错误的决定。
And you have made the worst decision.
所以你这个时候很痛苦，面对一个不能挽回的事实。
And so with great suffering you face an unchangeable truth.
这是后悔的时候感情的经历。
This is an emotional experience of regret.
这是后悔的第一个层面。
The first status of regret.
我相信我们没有一个人没有后悔过。
I believe all of us must have regretted before.
马上我考验你。
I can give you a test.
一生一世从来没有后悔的人请举手。
Those who have never regretted may raise your hand.
有没有啊？
Anyone?
一个都没有。
Not even one.
那我第二句的时候。
But my second question.
曾经后悔过的人请举手。
Those who have regretted raise your hand.
你不举手的你一定会后悔的。那你就有后悔的经验了。那我们都知道什么叫做后悔。
We all know this emotion.
所以后悔的时候第一个层面是感情受伤的情形。
So the first area is a hurt emotionally.
那你就面对不能再挽回的事实。
You are facing something that you cannot bring back.
面对不能再改的方向。
A direction that cannot be changed.
面对自己已经掉到这个地步的现实。
The fact that you are now in this position.
你只能自我隐恨。
You can only hate yourself.
你只能面对虚空。
And face a emptiness.
你只能永远如此，直到永远。
And stay in this way forever.
那个感觉是很难想象的。
Very difficult to describe.
但是我讲不必讲太多，讲太多我也会后悔。
But I will regret if I describe too much.
因为你们都知道什么叫做后悔，所以我不必解释了。
All of you know the feeling.
但是后悔的第二个层次是逻辑的层次，不是感情的层次。
But the second area of regret is that of logic.
什么叫做后悔呢？
What does regret mean?
我们的知识不够的时候就做了决定。
It means we have made a decision before we know enough.
我们的自信不够的时候，我们去做了回应。
We responded before we have the right information.
我们经验不够，我们就有了行动。
We act before we had the right experiences.
这些的决定
，all these decisions，
这些的回应
，all these responses，
这些的行动是错的。
All these actions were wrong.
因为无知又因为有错的可能，所以我们落到这个地步，这个叫做后悔。
We were ignorant and we made the wrong decisions.
第二样。
Secondly,
我们无知，我们又不够精力，不够自信，但是我们过于自信，我们才做了会后悔的事。
We were ignorant and did not have enough information, but we were overconfident.
我太过相信自己了。
Then I believe in myself too much.
我想这样做一定对的嘛。
I thought this must be right.
这样做没有关系的嘛。
It doesn't seem wrong.
这样做一定是个好事情。
Surely it's a good thing.
谁知道事与愿违？
But the fact is against my will.
所以结果你发现。弄出来的是更糟糕的事情。
You find the consequences to be worse.
反作用比作用更大。
That there are more negative things that come from it.
现实比理想更苛刻。
And the facts are more cruel than my ideas.
所以没有办法把我的意愿挽回整个大局的退失。
I'm not able to turn around the entire situation.
所以那个时候我们就产生后悔了。
At that time, we will regret.
这是逻辑层面的事情。
This is from logical thinking.
我的知识不够。
That I don't have enough info.
我的自信不够。
That my information is not enough.
我的经验不够。
Not enough experiences.
我的研究体验不够。
And my actual explanation was wrong.
我的自信太多。
I am too self-confident.
我的乐观太大。
Too optimistic.
我的决定太快。
Too fast a decision.
结果全部错了。
And so all were wrong.
当我做错的事，发现事已经做成功了。
When I discovered that I have already made a mistake,
你已经煮成饭的时候，
when things couldn't turn around,
你就痛苦万分，
then you will suffer.
这个时候呢，逻辑的错误已经过去了，
the logical mistake had been made.
那感情的忧伤永远不停止，
but the hurt emotionally will not end.
这就产生了什么叫做悲剧这个事情。
And so tragedy will occur.
悲剧一定跟错误的决定有关系的。
Tragedies are related to wrong decisions.
悲剧一定跟历史不能挽回有关系的。
Must be related to the fact that history cannot change.
悲剧常常时间与机会之间的决定的阴错阳差有关系的。
Tragedies are related to missed opportunities.
所以剩下的是什么呢？
What is left?
永远不能被医好的伤痛。
It's a wound that can never be healed.